It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in, locked in all over North America. I hope you've had a tremendous Wednesday. I'll be hanging out with you for the next 2 hours. This show gets started every weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always tune in on the free Odyssey app, your local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 375, and if you have a smart speaker, ask that speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. We've had quite a pieces of news that have come down the pipe over the past hour. Unfortunately, the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, Jim Irsay, has passed away at the age of 65 years old. This man has battled with substance abuse and alcohol issues for years now. We don't know the full details of what took place and what happened, the cult sharing that he has passed away this afternoon. We also, I guess, on brighter news and brighter side of things, we learned that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is now the NBA MVP, officially being named NBA MVP last hour. We also have the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers. They are set to tip off minutes from now in New York City, in Madison Square Garden. We're also minutes away here from sharing with you a new top six list as we will take some time to highlight some of the biggest crybabies in sports. So we have certainly had a busy day, a busy afternoon, a busy evening, and we will continue to roll on. You can always call up anytime at 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to our producer in New York City holding things down, Ryan Botcher. Please tune in on the free Odyssey app, your local affiliate, SiriusXM 375, and a smart speaker if you have one. What a day, what a day, what a day. What a busy, busy day. And then we even had the news earlier today that the NFL decided, well, the NFL owners voted against banning the tush push. So the tush push is going to stay. It's going to stick around. So today has been a very busy news day. And then, as I told you last hour, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander walking away with the MVP award for 2024 or 2025 after last year coming in second to Nikola Jokic. The announcement was made on the NBA on TNT. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he spoke to Shaq and Charles and Kenny and Ernie. And I guess one of the big questions to Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was pretty much, hey, how much did you think about Nikola Jokic and the fact that, damn it, this guy has three and he could go out there and win it again? Listen to this.
Yeah, you try so hard throughout the season to like not think about it and just worry about playing basketball and getting better and trying to win games. But as a competitor and as a kid dreaming about the game, it's always in the back of your mind. And I'm very thankful to be this side of the, I guess, the ballot. But none of it's possible without the guys behind me. The amount of games we won and the fashion that we won the games is so impressive, and it's probably the main reason why I get the award. So without them, it's not possible.
Man, they had to play music in the back. He's doing an interview on national television, and he was in the team facility. Like, did they need music in the back? The PR guy couldn't get them to turn it down? I mean, come on now. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, they continued chatting. He was surrounded by his teammates. Yeah, he was flanked. They were wearing his shirt, which is a nice touch, showing some unity there. And he talked about being on some bad teams. Let's keep in mind, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, he was the 11th pick out of Kentucky in 2018. He was on the Clippers before he was moved to the Oklahoma City Thunder. He knows about playing on some bad teams. And now this guy's the MVP. He just talked about his teammates. What about the bad teams, man? Listen to him talk about that.
I always like to focus on the things that I can control. And I think that's how I got to this point. So all the chit-chatter and what's going on in the league, I have no control over. So I just try to keep my head down, work super hard. And the guys around me do the same thing. And it made it easy to grow, easy to get to this point because of that. And I think that mentality is going to help us keep growing in the future.
Yeah, man. Well, I think they're going to be NBA champions. I think that too as well. And so we talked about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. We got the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers getting ready to tip off here in game one. And so we have a lot to get into. It is Wednesday. Every Wednesday I bring you a new top six list. Tonight, this evening, will be no different. We're going to take a look at some of the biggest crybabies in sports. And here's a little bit of a spoiler for everybody. This list was inspired by the Green Bay Packers. All that whining and crying and complaining that they did in order to try to get the tush push banned in the NFL. So I want to thank them for inspiring this list. And then also, I can't lie, Reggie Miller also inspired this list. Yeah, Reggie Miller, former Indiana Pacer, NBA Hall of Famer, or excuse me, Basketball Hall of Famer. He's another dude always belly aching. And it's not a time that I don't look at this man, who's now going to be calling this series between the Pacers and the Knicks, and just look at him and just go, man, just shut up and stop complaining. I can imagine we're going to have many quotes tonight. Reggie Miller just being a pain in the ass for New York Knicks fans and people who have to listen to him. And so without wasting any more time, as I do every single Wednesday, it's time for a new top six list. It's time to take a look at some of the biggest crybabies in sports.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's time to get JR's latest top six list, only on the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. It's time to talk about some of the biggest crybabies in the world of sports. So these are players, these are coaches, these are teams, these are fans who just don't know how to shut up. And I'm talking about now, modern day crybabies in sports. I'm not going back in the past. I'm thinking about people who are active right now. It's a top six list. Where do we start?
Number six.
Oh, man, this crybaby, he needs to stop crying. Because maybe he's not on the team that he thought he would be on, but I think he's in a better location. He's playing with an all-time great. He's playing near the beach. And maybe, just maybe, he will learn how to shut the hell up. And number six on the list, I'm giving you Luka Doncic. You want to talk about a crybaby. This man is one of the best young players that the NBA has ever seen. This guy is winning championships and MVPs in the EuroLeague as a teenager in Barcelona. He comes over to the NBA. He's exciting. He takes the Mavericks to the NBA Finals. But man, it hasn't been a guy to work the referees like this. And I don't even know how long. This man has played in the league for 7 seasons. He already has 88 technical fouls. He has 4 career ejections because he doesn't know how to stop. And I will never forget last year in the NBA Finals, the Celtics are whooping that ass. He fouls out at the end of the game. He's on the floor. He's yelling at the officials. He doesn't get back on defense. He's complaining and blaming everybody but himself for his own frustration fouls. And then he wants to blame the refs and then yell at his own bench. Even Jason Kidd was sick and tired of the guy. Jason Kidd basically said Luka Doncic needed to grow up when it came down to the officiating. This has nothing to do with him smoking hookah and drinking beer. Luka last year was asked about the comments by Jason Kidd, and Luka kinda sorta owned up to it, but then he kinda sorta didn't want to. Listen to this.
Jay Kidd mentioned that, I don't want to botch his words, so he said, as a team, we've got to mature. We've got to grow up. And he mentioned, getting distracted by the whistle. Is that, what's your reaction to that?
It's probably true. That's it.
Did you feel like you got distracted by the whistle today?
I know you were going to be the one to ask me that question.
I think it's a fair question, though.
Yeah, like I say, it's probably true.
Uh-huh. Probably true. I'm not going to answer. It is true. Your ass be complaining out there. I'm hoping that Luka Doncic in an offseason, J.J. Redick already basically told him, hey, man, you need to get in championship shape. I'm hoping that as he gets older, he will also learn when to fuss with the officials and when to get back on defense and just shut the hell up. You want to talk about crybabies? I got Luka Doncic at number six on my list. He's number six. What's next?
Number five.
Man, you would think a Super Bowl winning head coach would relax. You would think a guy who has a rookie quarterback who just took you to the playoffs would relax. But with Bill Belichick now hanging out with young women at UNC, or my bad, he's coaching at North Carolina, just has a young girlfriend, my bad. You would think that Sean Payton would be happy, but he has taken over the mantle of being old and grumpy from Belichick in the NFL. I got Sean Payton at number 5 here on the list. I mean, he was grumpy when he showed up. I mean, is Russell Wilson, was he that big of a pain in the ass? I mean, Sean Payton showed up, got the job, left Fox, and the first thing that he did is take a massive dump on Nathaniel Hackett, who at the time was the offensive coordinator for the New York Jets. I mean, Sean Payton showed up to work. He's supposed to paint a bright picture about what he's going to bring to the Denver Broncos, and he basically said, last year before I got here might have been the worst coaching jobs in the history of the NFL. Damn, bro. He continued on. He says, you know what, Russell Wilson, last year, it's so much dirt around that. There's 20 dirty hands for what was allowed, tolerated in the training rooms, the meeting rooms, the offense. I don't know, Hackett. A lot of people had dirt on their hands. It wasn't just Russell. Damn, I've never heard a coach eviscerate another coach. It's like a fraternity. But I guess Sean Payton is old. He's like, I don't know none of these young guys. I'm just old and cranky. He ultimately apologized and he blamed it on his TV hat. Listen to this garbage.
I had one of those moments where I still had my Fox hat on and not my coaching hat on. And, you know, I said this to the team in the meeting yesterday. We've had a great offseason relative to that, you know, and I've been preaching that message. And here I am, the veteran, you know, stepping in it. And, you know, it was a learning experience for me. It was a mistake, obviously. I needed a little bit more filter. You know, there's a pound of flesh for these guys. And as a coach, you stick up for them. And after a while, you know, we're past that season last year. And you know, I said what I said. And obviously, I needed a little bit more restraint. And I regret that.
Oh, he regrets that, man. What is he going to do? He might as well hire Gruden to be, you know, right there next to him. Man, come on, man. What are we doing? Sean Payton, a big old crybaby. He's taken over as the old crotchety guy of a coach in the NFL. I got Sean Payton at number 5 on my list. We're talking about the biggest crybabies in sports today. He's number 5. Who's next?
Number 4.
Oh, my goodness. You want to talk about a crybaby? I think this guy might be blind. I don't know if he is a crybaby. He's also an abuser. I think he's a denier. I think he's not honest. He just talks and talks. He's talking right now on TNT. It's Draymond Green. Yeah, I got him number 4 on my list. One of the biggest crybabies in sports. Draymond Green will punch you in the mouth and then go, I didn't do it. Draymond Green will stomp on your chest and go, it wasn't me. Draymond Green will put you in a headlock and just go, why did I get kicked out of the game? And then he has advice for everybody else. This man is not the next Charles Barkley. This man was sitting at the NBA All-Star game this year. Yeah, we know the game sucked. But he's complaining about them putting in rookies. And it's like, well, maybe if some of your All-Star contemporaries actually played, they wouldn't have to do so. Yeah, let me read you some key Draymond Green stats. 23 career ejections. He's second to Rasheed Wallace with 29 all time. 6 career suspensions. He backhanded Nurkic. He put Gobert in a headlock. He stepped on Arvydas Sabonis' kid. He hit LeBron in the groin. He had a beef with Kevin Durant that got him suspended. And oh yeah, he did punch Jordan Poole in the face. No suspension, just a couple of days off, a couple of weeks. Oh, yeah, and then he did go back to Michigan State, and then he punched a student there after he graduated. There you have it, Draymond Green. Draymond Green, just a couple of weeks ago, after the Houston Rockets were eliminated by the Golden State Warriors, this is when Draymond was still in the playoffs, he did say, my own emotions, man, sometimes I get in my own way. I'm embarrassing myself.
And I pouted way too much last game. So I spent the last 2 days embarrassed, just at what I gave to the game, what I gave to the world. I was embarrassed. So I've been dying since the last game ended to get out on the floor and prove who I am. You know, One thing about this league, you're never done proving who you are until you're done.
Oh, man. Whatever. Steve Kerr knows it, too. He's had to coach this guy all the way through. He's like, man, I know I'm sick of the guy, but this is who he is. I'm sick of him.
It's part of Draymond, you know, his the same thing that makes him such a competitor and a winner puts him over the top sometimes. And, you know, we know that. And it's our job to try to help him stay poised, stay composed. But the competition is so meaningful to him that, you know, occasionally he goes over the line.
Occasionally he goes over the line. 23 career ejections. Oh, my God. He's a crybaby if I've ever seen one. Draymond Green, number four on my list. Top six crybabies in sports. Draymond is four. Who's next?
Number three.
Oh, this is an easy one. It's his teammate, Jimmy Butler. Yeah, the same Jimmy Butler that cried his way out of Miami. The same Jimmy Butler that did all that talking last offseason, didn't want to go out there and back it up, got mad at Pat Riley for calling him out, and then decided to bail on the team when it was apparent Pat Riley wasn't just going to say, oh, here's $121 million. Listen to the way that Jimmy Butler cried his way out of Miami. This was the death knell.
What do I want to see happen? I want to see me get my joy back from playing basketball. And wherever that may be, we'll find out here pretty soon. But I want to get my joy back. I'm happy here, you know, off the court. But I want to be back to somewhat dominant. I want to hoop. And I want to help this team win. Right now, I'm not doing that.
Can you get your joy back here on the court?
Probably not.
Okay. Yeah, this guy cried his way out of Miami. And then Pat Riley moved him. Golden State said, we couldn't get Kevin Durant. Here, we'll take the consolation prize. And then ultimately, he kind of stunk when Steph Curry went down. Hey, you had your chance, your opportunity. I thought you were big time if you were going to go out there and play. Not the case. This man in the last two games and Steph Curry went down, he took just 20 shots. I mean, damn it, we heard it yesterday from Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade sitting down on his own podcast. Dwayne Wade was just like, Jimmy Butler, man, they paying you $60 million a year. Show up and get some buckets.
Like, I know Jimmy is a pass-first guy. Oh, yeah. I know he's about getting his teammates the ball and want to see them shine. But it's a point where you're getting 60.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't working. You got to go.
Yep.
He won't look at the basket. And I've seen this before. I've seen it in the Heat jersey. And so, you know, in a sense, like when Pat come out, Pat say, we ain't want to give you an extension, it's not always because of injury. Sometimes it's, I need to see what you're going to do in every moment, not just in one moment.
All the time. Yeah, Jimmy Butler, number three on my list. Biggest crybaby in sports today. Draymond is three. What's that number?
Number two.
They inspired the list. It's the Green Bay Packers. It's Mark Murphy. Yeah, the guys that wanted to ban the tush push because they could not go out there and stop it. What a bunch of complainers. I'm glad the tush push is here to stay. You know, we had a great caller hit us up earlier in the show. He's just like, this is really a situation of, hey, I can't beat the competition. I'm just going to take my ball and go home. Listen to Mark Murphy complain about this on Up and Adams several months ago. I'm glad it didn't happen. I'm glad the tush push is here to stay. But listen to this man whine and cry and complain about the tush push.
I mean, it's nothing against Philadelphia, but I think eventually you're going to see more and more teams do it because it's really difficult to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Just the reality of it. And it's more of a rugby play than a football play.
You're very passionate about it, I feel like, and so are the Packers. What is it that makes you so passionate about this?
Did you watch the NFC Championship game? Mm-hmm. Did you see what my old team, the Washington Commanders, I mean?
I did.
That's not good for football.
Mm-hmm.
You had players flying over the line of scrimmage to try to time it up.
What a waste of time. Other teams are going to go out there and try it? Well, why didn't they? Why didn't they? Okay, the Eagles and the Bills are the only two teams that ran the tush push more than five times last season. Let's put this whole band of tush push and push and pull. Let's put this thing behind us. There's more important things going on in the game of football. Like, I don't know, a guy catching a touchdown. I don't know. Like, leave things alone, okay? Stop complaining just because you couldn't go out there and beat a team. Beat the Eagles. Don't change the rules. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we're talking about some of the biggest crybabies in the world of sports. I'm going to tell you who I have at number one on my list. I'm going to give you an update on what's going on between the New York Knicks and the Indiana Pacers. And then the NFL has released a statement, Roger Goodell has, on the passing of Colts owner Jim Irsay. We'll come through and talk about it all on the other side of the break. You're locked in to the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I am sharing with you a new top six list. We're talking about some of the biggest crybabies in the world of sports today. I'm about to share with you who I have at number one. Before we get there, I do want to tell you about game one between the Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks. The Pacers currently lead the Knicks 29-22. Miles Turner has 11 points and is perfect from the field, a perfect 5 of 5 for the Indiana Pacers. He is leading the way for them. Tyrese Halliburton with 4 points and then also 5 assists. Meanwhile, the New York Knicks, well, everybody expects Jalen Brunson and Towns to lead the way. That they are. Karl Anthony Towns is aggressive tonight from start with 8 points. Jalen Brunson has 6. Mikal Bridges with 6 points as well. Pacers lead 29-22 here, about 2.5 minutes to go in the first quarter. As we continue on with this top six list, looking at some of the biggest crybabies in the world of sports, at number six, I gave you Luka Doncic. At number five, I gave you Sean Payton, taking over for Captain Grump, Bill Belichick in the NFL. And number four, one of the biggest crybabies in sports, I gave you Draymond Green. This guy will punch, kick, stomp, backhand, beat the living hell out of you. He's done everything except for bite an opponent. And who knows, that might be coming up next. Draymond Green has never committed a foul, has never hit anybody, doesn't understand his suspensions. I got him at number four on the list. And number three, you want to talk about crybabies? His teammate, Jimmy Butler. How the hell did Steph Curry get saddled with both of these guys? Jimmy Butler whined and cried his way out of Miami after not playing, after being hurt, after not taking shots, after playing when he wants to. And then he goes to Golden State. Steph Curry goes down and he is kind of MIA when even Golden State needs him the most. Come on, Jimmy Butler. You can't whine and cry, get paid, and not show up. At number two on the list, a big inspiration, the top six list of crybabies in sports, the Green Bay Packers. They wanted the tush push band. The tush push, the brotherly shove, it's here to stay. Mark Murphy, please go find something else to complain about. I don't know, like maybe your wide receivers from last year. Maybe the new ones you just drafted will actually work out. If I got the Packers at number two on my list of the biggest crybabies in sports, who could possibly be at this number?
Number one.
The biggest crybaby in sports is someone making $313 million. The biggest crybaby in sports, just over the past several months, has just showed you what not to do as a teammate. The biggest crybaby in sports isn't there when his team needs him the most. I think he's terrible for what he's done. His name is Rafael Devers. I don't want to call him a third baseman. I can't call him a first baseman. He's the DH for the Boston Red Sox. You want to talk about being an awful teammate. The owner had to pay him a personal visit to try to set him straight. Oh, you're not familiar? In the offseason, the Boston Red Sox, who currently have a record of 25-25, right now they're playing the New York Mets. Rafael Devers, a couple of seasons ago, two seasons ago, got himself a 10-year, $313 million deal. He's playing third base. The Boston Red Sox basically said, oh, you know what? We can keep Devers and we can add someone who's better defensively at third base, but that can also provide us plenty of offensive production, all-star caliber, championship caliber, and Alex Bregman. And so they decided to bring in Bregman. They basically told Devers, hey, can you move for us, please? Like, we're paying you a lot of money. We want to put him, the superior defender, at third base. And we want to move you so we have more flexibility. And so Rafael Devers is now the DH. They put Casas at first base. So they would have more offense, more defensive versatility. And unfortunately, Tristan Casas, he got hurt. His season is over. You know when you want to know what the Boston Red Sox did? The team paying him $313 million over the next, what, eight more years, I think, left? They asked him to play first. Hey, we can open up an offensive spot. You can go to first base, stand there, receive the ball. You will help us out offensively. We can work with you defensively. We can put some more offense in the DH spot. Rafael Devers said, no. First, you take away third base from me. Then you put me at DH. And now you want me to play first base. I've never played first base before. Screw you. You figure it out. Not my problem. He basically said it in those exact words. Not exactly, but he told the team no. Like a good teammate would say, hey, whatever the team needs, I'm going to go out there and do my best. Rafael Devers said, screw you. When he was asked about this a couple of weeks ago, I want you to hear the question, and then I'm going to give you the translation. The translation, you will hear the Spanish, and then you will hear the English translation. Rafael Devers said, it's not my problem. Screw them. They got to figure it out. I'm playing DH. Listen to all of this. This is fun.
Alex has been asked a couple of times about, you know, possibly you playing first base. Is that something you're open to if they ask?
No, ellos me hicieron la misma pregunta, me hicieron la pregunta ya, pero creo que ellos también me pusieron a jugar otra posición en pin training y creo que se ve muy feo de su parte. No tengo dos meses jugando una posición y creo que se ve muy, muy feo de su parte que me pidan que juegue otra posición ahora.
Yeah, no, they had the conversation with me. I don't think me personally it's the best decision after... you know, they asked me to play a different position, and I don't even have 2 months playing this position to all of a sudden have me try to play another position. So from my end, it doesn't seem like a good decision.
The position he's playing is DH. That's not a position. You go swing the bat. He said, it's not my problem. It's very difficult for me to move. It's not fair. I'm not moving. Like, I can't ever remember hearing it. I'm sure there is, but I can't remember an athlete saying, no thanks. I guess this is the benefit of having a $313 million deal. You know they're not going to move you. I mean, even the owner, John Henry, flew in to meet him on the road to basically say, bruh, I'm paying you a lot of money. The most you can do is be a decent teammate. I mean, even the general manager, Craig Breslow, who used to play in baseball, Rafael Devers basically also said, oh, he should know it's not easy to move. Like, he played baseball. He should know. Like, damn. And so Craig Breslow basically became a mouthpiece. He flew in for the meeting, and then he basically had to tell the media, yeah, I went to the meeting, and I think the owner set him straight. Listen to this.
Did you, obviously, long delay in when Alex was supposed to speak. Did you guys meet with Rafi today, or what's going on?
Yeah, so there were conversations. John, Sam, and I flew out earlier today. It was actually John who spoke directly with Rafi, but felt like it was important, based on the situation that unfolded yesterday, to come out here and have an honest conversation about, you know, what we value as an organization, you know, and what we believe is important to the Boston Red Sox, and that being great teammates for each other. And so, you know, we think we had a productive conversation. John seems to have had a productive conversation, and that's where things stand right now.
Man, the Red Sox currently, as it stands, heading into tonight's matchup with the Mets, have a record of 25-25. Imagine paying somebody $313 million, asking them to move their cubicle or their office from one corner of the office to the other, and they just go, no. Yeah, that deserves a talking to, a tongue lashing. And by the way, Rafael Devers, he's not out in the field. I guess he won that one. I think he's a crybaby. I got him at number one on my list. I just gave you a top six list of crybabies in sports. At number six, I gave you Luka Doncic. Number five, I gave you Sean Payton. Number four, I gave you Draymond Green. Number three, I gave you Jimmy Butler. Number two, I gave you the Green Bay Packers. Number one, I gave you Rafael Devers. It's a simple question. The phone lines are open if you want to give me a holler. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. When I say crybabies in sports, is there another crybaby? Like, who the hell would you put on your list? I got Devers at number one on mine. I'm going to ask Ryan Botcher, get his thoughts on the other side of the break. We have so much more to do, so much to get into, so much news. There's some good and some bad. And it's time for that news flash here on the Infinity Sports Network. Here he is. It's Rich Ackerman.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I just gave you a top six list. We took a look at some of the biggest crybabies in sports today. I'm talking about athletes. I'm talking about coaches. I'm talking about teams that are active in the world of sports who just whine and cry and complain. Don't give it up. And number six, I gave you Luka Doncic. Number five, I gave you Sean Payton. Number four, Draymond Green. Number three, Jimmy Butler. Number two, the Green Bay Packers. Thank you with that tush push. And at number one, you want to talk about the biggest crybaby? Making $313 million. Won't even bother to switch or even entertain adjusting positions because he feels it's not fair, is Rafael Devers of the Boston Red Sox. I think he's just a terrible teammate in the world of sports right now. If you want an example of what to show your kids, what not to do, take a look at Rafael Devers. The phone lines are open if you want to give me a holler. It's real simple. You ready? 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're talking about some of the biggest crybabies in the world of sports right now, today. Hey, right now in New York City, Madison Square Garden, the Pacers and Knicks are playing it close. The Pacers lead 44 to 41. Yeah, you thought that this was going to go down to the wire? Oh, yeah, this series is likely to go down to the wire. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're talking about some of the biggest crybabies in sports today. I got Rafael Devers at numero uno on my list. David is calling up. David is here from Los Angeles. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, David?
Hey, good afternoon, JR. Always great to talk to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, go ahead.
All right, so I got two crybabies here, one from today and one from not too distant in the past year. Now,
hold on, David. I don't want to hear about no guy in the past. I want to hear about who's playing and active today. Give me that one.
All right, sure thing. All right, no denying his greatness. Everyone knows who he is, three-time Super Bowl champion, but for God's sakes, Patrick Mahomes, you're a crybaby. I got to say it. Here's why. After every hit a defensive player puts on him, he's looking for the flag right away. He's looking for the referee to throw the flag right away. Bro, no, that's not how it works. Okay, occasionally they'll be on your side, but no, that's not how it works. Do you remember that game against Buffalo in 2023 when his teammates had to basically restrain him on the sideline as he was trying to go after the officials for making the right call on Kadarius Toney lining up offsides? And then at the end of the game, after the game, during his press conference, there he is in front of the mic saying, man, sometimes, you know, at the end of the game, they should just let the players play and, you know, swallow their whistles or whatever. Not his exact words, but that's what he meant. Patty, the year before in the Super Bowl, you won the Super Bowl because the officials called a holding call late that allowed you to run out the clock. Did you forget that? Well, that wasn't that wasn't unfair back then, was it? Well, I mean, that's okay. I'm gonna have to
look at that. I agree with you, David, and thank you for calling from L.A. I agree with him. Patrick Mahomes is always looking for the call, always looking for the whistle. I get that. I'm gonna have to look up that Kadarius Toney press conference because I see this almost like a point guard in basketball. Any player in basketball, sometimes you got to know when to go. Sometimes you got to know when to shut up. I mean, people were complaining last night about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and this guy is out here looking for every foul imaginable. I mean, if you are so good of a player and you can manipulate the opposition, or excuse me, not even the opposition, you can manipulate the refs, you do it. Like, I find it being part of the game, and there's only a few guys, a few players that can go out there and do it, and it's the best of the best. And so I'm not going to knock Patrick Mahomes. I understand the example that he gave, given Kadarius Toney lining up offsides and him complaining afterwards. I don't recall that. It's not to say that it didn't happen. I don't remember everything. I don't recall that. Come on. Michael Jordan, I find him to be the greatest basketball player of all time. Michael Jordan basically had the refs hypnotized. And it's not because he was some smooth talker. It's because he could do whatever he wanted on the basketball court. And you would assume that if Michael Jordan came up to you and told you, hey, this is what happened, that it did. Because this guy was just running the entire show. Nobody listens to the guy at the end of the bench. The rookie doesn't get a call. Because you got to go out there and prove your worth. I mean, if you're good at what you do, you can start utilizing your influence in other places that aren't directly related to you. The officiating. I mean, for all the people who complain about the referees being in the back pocket of the Kansas City Chiefs, to say that Patrick Mahomes is a crybaby, was he making love to the refs? I would leave that one alone. I'm not jumping aboard that bandwagon. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're talking about some of the biggest crybabies in the world of sports today. I want to ask our producer, Ryan Botcher. Hey, Ryan, when I say crybaby, who comes to your mind?
Josh Allen. And it's kind of a similar way as Patrick Mahomes. But Josh Allen, granted he's a rival to the Jets, but he flops so much. And then he complains if he gets tapped. It's pretty bad.
I guess that's what happened. I don't want to say he's bigger than everybody, but he's,
exactly. That's
for
the
a quarterback,
issue.
He's big as hell.
And that's the issue. He complains after every hit at his size, and he runs through people all the time. So for him to go down like a piece of paper, it's annoying.
Yeah, I can understand that. And we've had that exists in every sport. When the biggest guy on the field or somebody big at his position gets kind of tackled and what have you, it's just, did he flop? Did he foul? Did he get fouled? Is he not getting calls? I can certainly understand that. Hey, how about this? What about Juan Soto? Like, this guy goes 1-for-10 against the New York Yankees in the Subway Series. The Yankees win the series over the weekend 2-1. And then we start getting all these stories about how miserable Juan Soto is despite having a $765 million contract. I mean, that makes the 313 that Rafael Devers is receiving come across as paltry. And it's just like what we heard from Michael Kay just a couple days ago. He's like, I've been hearing that Juan Soto never wanted to leave the Yankees, but his family wanted him to. Listen to this from ESPN.
I'll say it right now, and it will be denied. And of course, it has to be denied. But I've talked to people that I respect. He wanted to return to the Yankees. That was his preference. His family said, you're going to the Mets. His family felt very comfortable around Alex and Steve Cohen, and they said, you're going to the Mets, and he is a guy who listens to his family.
Yeah, a lot of people listen to their family. I mean, he's 26 years old, very familiar. I mean, why not? Pedro Martinez was on TBS, and Pedro was just like, he's still adjusting. Give the guy a break. He's not a crybaby.
Because I was once the best paid player in the game. And it took me a while to adjust to my team, adjust to the media. I was coming from Montreal. There was a lot of attention on me. There was a lot of stuff that I needed to deal with until I finally made the adjustment. And this is an adjustment year for Soto, even though he went from the Bronx to Queens. It's an adjustment year. But nobody's stopping to think about the human inside the uniform. And there are some stuff that can get your mind distracted.
Of course. And you're right. We know he's a human inside the uniform. But there aren't too many human beings walking around making $765 million. I'm sorry, Pedro. I don't have any sympathy for Juan Soto. And man, he's stuck. Yes. Now, I do understand he has the opportunity to opt out after 5 years or 5 year opt outs. I just don't think that anything's going to change. Juan Soto will be fine. Numbers aren't necessarily living up to what the New York Mets expected. Is he a crybaby? I don't think so. Not yet. Botchers, is Soto a crybaby?
No, I think he's just boring. He's not like he's not going to complain about things, but he will show emotion in the fact that he won't show emotion, if that means anything.
Yeah.
Him not showing any emotion, happiness, is him pouting.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not happy. I don't want to say he's in a slump, but he's not cranking how people thought he would at this point of the season. He'll go on a heater and everybody will forget about it. Not a crybaby, just a wealthy man. It's the JR Sport Brief Show on the Infinity Sports Network. It's been a busy day. We're going to talk about all the news and updates on the other side of the break. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, Infinity Sports Network.